Hello, this is Thomas of the band Nightwish here, and you are listening to Pomesgado, the podcast of powermetal.de.
Hello out there, this is Pia from Pomesgabe, the podcast of powermetal.de. The following episode is in English only. I'm here today with a very special guest, with Thomas from Nightwish. Hi Thomas.
Hello there, how are you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
It's really nice. Actually, I think this is the first day of summer in Finland. It's almost 20 degrees Celsius after a long and dark winter, so happy times.
First of all, thank you for being our guests, and also congratulations, because Nightwish will celebrate its 25th anniversary this year.
I just realized that myself. Somebody mentioned it to me, I think yesterday, that you guys are celebrating 25 years soon, aren't you? And I started to count that, yeah, actually, I think it's July 5th, July 7th, to be exact, so only about a month and a half away from the quarter of a century. Celebration. It's quite something.
Wow, yeah. What would the Thomas of 1996 say if you could tell him now how your career turns out?
Get out of here. No way. You silly boy. But that's one of the beautiful things about Nightwish, is that this was never ever planned. Back in 1996 when we started, every band member had their own ambitions and future plans. I wanted to be a scientist. Jukka, the drummer, wanted to be a computer engineer. Tarja wanted to be a classically trained opera singer, all that. And now, 25 years later, it has taken us by surprise completely. But that's also a thing that's kept the whole thing fresh throughout all these years, and really innocent, because this is not a dream come true, so to say. It's just something that we have learned to be in and love, and still do.
I think that's the only way how it works, because if you plan all that, I think you might fail, because maybe sometimes you try too hard then or something. I don't know. I think if you just stay open-minded, it's better for
everything. I believe the word would be calculating. If you start to calculate too much, you lose the essence of art and what you do. You have to be completely open and free before the art that you do all the time. It's the utmost cliche to say that you don't care about what the world thinks, you don't care about the trends of the music industry, but that really is the truth. That's the only way to stay pure and keep the whole thing interesting to yourself.
And that also led to your new album, Human Nature, that has been released in 2020. Sadly, you were not able to bring this on stage. So how excited are you that this is finally going to happen by the end of May?
It really is the time for that. It feels so weird that the album has been out for 13 months and we haven't been able to do a single show. But then again, we have been really patient and optimistic throughout all this bizarreness that's going on in the world today. Finally, in about 2 weeks, we get to play sort of live, I guess you could say that, to do these two virtual shows and broadcast them all over the world. It's going to be something really special, really unique. And the band is so super hyped about it. It's pretty incredible. But of course, it will never replace the actual live experience, which is a wonderful thing as well. So hopefully by the end of the summer, by the end of the year, we're going to be able to do some actual live shows as well.
Yeah, I hope so too. We will meet you in a digital world, or your band in a digital world. So compared to how normal concerts look like, what can we expect?
It's a bit of a mystery to us still too. We've only seen some visual images of the so-called steampunk tavern that we will be playing in. The band has been rehearsing on their own, and Zone, the company responsible for all the visuals, they have been doing these visuals for months now. So us separately from them. And then in about a week when we start the rehearsals, we're finally able to see how they match together. And it's going to be surreal, I'm sure, because the band is going to be playing on nothing but a green surface and a background. There's nothing, no audience, no visuals, nothing, just each other. And that's going to be really fascinating if we are able to kind of like get on the mood of a live show with just us six on stage. And I think we will, because it's been so long since we last played together that the joy and the happy feel of get together is going to be there. So we don't need any of that extra stuff. But the way it's going to look outside, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
I think that's also a good way, because to me, it seems quite logical that you use the opportunity to do something unique, something special when you can't enter a real stage.
That's exactly the idea. We talked about doing a virtual show for a long time, and all the time it was like, nah, we really prefer the actual live show, so let's not even try that. But then when we were approached by this company that we have the means and the time to actually do this in a bigger scale than it has been done before, so it's not going to be like just playing in the rehearsal room or playing on a stage and that's it. This is going to be visually something spectacular, so how about giving it a try? And yeah, we thought, let's do it. It's another thing away from the bucket list, being able to play in a massive, huge, beautiful virtual world.
How many people are involved?
I don't know, actually. The digital crew of Zone is a few people, plus the director, and then, of course, the band and the Nightwish crew, which is about 10 people. I think there's going to be like 20, 25 people in the live streams altogether.
And compared to the preparations for a normal live show, how much effort did you have to, or do you still have to put in this?
A lot of rehearsing, because the band hasn't played together in like 20 months or something.
Well, so, yeah.
Of course, coming up with a set list to suit these special surroundings. And also, it's not going to be a full length, like 2 hour show that we normally do. It's going to be about 90, 95 minutes. So that's it. No pyros, no extra lightings, of course, just the visual world.
How does it feel to you after this many months of absence? Does it feel like you're going to play the first live show ever in your life? Or can you, how do you feel about entering the stage again?
I don't know. It's just really exciting. After all this time, it's going to be so fun to see the band, the other band members, and the crew, and the management. It's like old family get together again. And we already had one rehearsal with the band about a month ago for 5 days, and we just basically picked up where we left off a year ago. So it didn't feel like such a long time, and I think it's going to be like that in a couple of weeks as well.
Were you able to meet for practicing?
Yeah, the whole band was there, including Floor. But unfortunately, after the first session, she had a bit of a seizure. She had gallbladder stones. So we rushed her into the hospital, and then she spent the next 4 days there. So a bit of a Murphy's Law there. We haven't seen each other for a long time, and finally get together. One night of hugs and laughs and lovely get together, then one rehearsal of 2 hours, and off to the hospital she went.
How are you going to perform? Is it more like in shooting a music video because of this green screen in the background, or will there also be a lot of communication with the audience even though you can't see them?
I believe, since it's such a peculiar environment, that it's more going to be like we're playing a dress rehearsal to each other, because you can't see the audience. So it feels a bit contrived if you try to interact with people all the time. So that's why the event is called An Evening with Nightwish in a Virtual World instead of a Nightwish virtual concert. So we invite people to come and see us play in this wonderful environment. But I don't think there's going to be so much interaction with the invisible fans, because that would just feel a bit too weird.
It's also your first show with a new bass player. I think you can't reveal the name yet, because I read in this VIP tickets that the name will be revealed quite before the show. But can you tell us how he fits in the band and how much time he had to learn the songs for the show?
The new bass player has been phenomenal, and fitting in perfectly. That's all I can say at the moment. Because like you said, the reveal is going to be part of the package of the virtual shows.
Yeah, okay.
But everything's good in the Nightwish camp now.
Yeah, perfect. And how much time did he have to learn all the songs?
Some weeks.
Will you play songs from every Nightwish album in the shows?
There are not going to be songs from the very first or maybe the first two albums, at least for the virtual shows. But it's also not going to be a Human Nature themed show. So the set list is very varied between the albums, except for the first two.
Has there been, or do you have a kind of script, by the way, how you want to act because of the CGI, so that it might make sense to stand on a specific place on the stage or something like that?
Not really. We're just going to be where we usually are, maybe change our positions a little and just do our thing. We never plan ahead what we do on stage.
Let's come to the advertisement part. So An Evening with Nightwish in a Virtual World will take place on the 28th and the 29th of May, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And people can still buy tickets for that at nightwish.com or can get the link to where they can buy the tickets. Do you have an idea how many people will be watching or how many tickets have been sold already?
I haven't heard exact numbers in weeks, so I don't really have an exact number, but it's in the tens of thousands.
Wow. And the good thing of a virtual show is that it won't be sold out, right?
It cannot be sold out, no. But yeah, I really wish as many people as possible would come and join us in the tavern, but because it's once in a lifetime thing for us and for the fans.
Yeah, and I can really recommend watching it while the band plays, because even though you're just sitting in front of your TV screen, the feeling is so different when you know that what you see is happening right now.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. The same feeling that I have when I watched some virtual shows, that you actually know that they are there now. So you get this slight sense of being in a live concert, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah, and I can also recommend watching it together with friends. So I did that with a friend of mine. She was in Zurich at that time, and I lived near Hanover, and we were connected via iPad. So we used Skype, I think, to see each other, and we watched the live stream at the same time. So that was a really cool thing, too.
Yeah, wonderful.
Is there something else you want to add or want to say to your fans about the evening with you in the virtual world, in the virtual tavern?
I think everything was already said. It's going to be quite the adventure for us and for you. So let's do it together. The more the merrier.
Yeah, because of your band's anniversary, some of our editors ranked all your albums that have been released. So from Angels Fall First to now Human Nature. And we're going to publish an article about that also very soon. So what do you think? Which album is the winner? What's your guess on this?
It's always a matter of opinion. And then again, the more time passes, the more relevant certain albums come. I don't think when you do a poll like this with any band in the world, it's never the last two albums that rank highest because you need to give them time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It never ever happens, no matter how good the albums are, they need time to mature. So commonly it's said that the fan favorites of our albums are Once and Oceanborn. So my guess is one of those.
After all these albums that have been released, how would you describe the evolution of your sound?
The wonderful thing is that there actually is an evolution. The first album, Angels Fall First, it's the real thing. It's pure Nightwish, but it's something that we could never do again during these years. But when you compare the first album with the latest album, you can still hear immediately, okay, this is the same group. But there has been a massive journey in between. And it's just wonderful to have a bunch of albums which always take their ambitions to a next level without ever losing the essence of what the band is about, which is sincerity. all the albums, they always reflect what we are as human beings in the band during the era that we do the album, and I as a songwriter. So there have been darker times and lighter times, and they reflect to how the albums sound. During Century Child or Dark Passion Play, things weren't as light as they were when doing Once or Human Nature, and that can be heard from the album.
In my opinion, you can still hear on the very first albums, or the other way around, if you would have been able to use orchestra and everything in the very first albums, I think it would have also fitted the sound. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, the orchestra and the choir, they are always there just to enhance the keyboard parts. That's my philosophy in using orchestras.
Okay.
They are the best sounding keyboard in the world, and that's what I would be playing if I had 25 hands. But it's also important for us, the band members musically, to always search for something new to keep it interesting. Like try some jazz elements here and there, try some new folk elements, do a ballad in a slightly different way. Just pick up these influences from here and there and try to introduce them into the world of Nightwish so that it works and complements the storytelling.
What are your influences nowadays compared to the very beginning of Nightwish?
Back in the mid-90s, it was pretty much all metal music for me. I was highly into these atmospheric bands like Theater of Tragedy, Third of the Mortal, The Gathering. And I also had a strong black metal background. I used to listen to a lot of the extreme stuff. And then at the late 90s, early 2000s, power metal was the biggest thing. Bands like Halloween, Stradivarius, they were the bands that I was listening to the most. And you can hear those influences on a couple of Nightwish albums clearly. And then come film music. And I think we've been on that path ever since. And that's the genre of music that I still enjoy listening to most.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We have traditionally the last question is about the favorite song. So what's your favorite song at the moment?
There is this one song that I listen to almost every day. Not every day, and I have been doing that for years and years. So I have to say that. I've said this before, but it's a song called Fields of Coral by the Greek composer Vangelis.
Mm-hmm.
It's from his Oceanic album, and it's by far the song that I've been listening to the most during my lifetime, thousands and thousands of times. And it's a song that I always usually end my day with.
Oh,
and when
wow.
I go to bed, I put that on, and it lasts for about 8 minutes. So I listen to it once and fall asleep with that song. And there's just something about that tune that affects me profoundly every single time I hear it. We are in the essence of music when you listen to that song. What's going on? It's 8 minutes of the same riff, same chord patterns, and it just kills me every time and sends me to a beautiful sleep. Mm. So that would be my desert island choice for a song. Fields of Coral by Vangelis.
My favorite song at the moment is by the band The Number Zero. They just released a music video for their song Comets. And since I watched that 2 days ago, I can't get the tune out of my head. So people out there, I will put both songs in the show notes so that you can listen to them after this podcast episode. So Thomas, thank you so much for being our guest here at Pommes Gabel.
It was a wonderful chat. Thank you.
Have a nice evening, a nice afternoon.
You too.
And a great show, of course.
It's going to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.